Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. The Oglala Sioux Tribe recently sent its largest class ever to the U.S. Indian Police Academy, located at the Federal Law Enforcement Training Center in New Mexico. 9 new officers are ready for service. The tribe now has more than 50 officers ready for duty. Bob Ekavy is the Oglala Sioux Tribal Police Chief. He has served as a U.S. Marshal and has served in the Bureau of Indian Affairs in Washington, D.C. as well. He joins us now for a look at the growing department and how officers are trained to protect and serve. Chief Ekavy, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
Tell us a little bit about recruiting new law enforcement officers. That's an ongoing conversation. How do you approach that in your department?
Well, I actually, myself, I came out of retirement about a year ago in April, and one of our big areas of concern was a lack of officers on the Pine Ridge Reservation. And when I came in, we had 24 officers on the street. And so I put a lot of effort into working with the tribal HR department and reaching out to communities across the reservation and in the western part of South Dakota as a recruitment drive with the effort to get our department built up. And right now we're at 53 officers in a little over a year. We have 53 officers on the street. And, you know, like you said, we just graduated 9 officers from the Indian Police Academy in Artesia, New Mexico. It was our largest class for the Department of Public Safety ever to graduate at one time from the Indian Police Academy.
That's a very successful year to go from 24 to now at 53 to make progress that quickly. What do you think caused that success? Where do you feel like things are really working in the recruitment area?
Well, I think getting out to a lot of young people. One of the things, and I think that you'll find in law enforcement in Indian country, is that a lot of our officers that are committed to working in law enforcement, they come from law enforcement families. And just example, myself, my father worked as a police officer for a while. My uncles were in law enforcement. And it's just something that that's kind of in the family tradition to pursue a law enforcement career. And so several of these officers that graduated out of this class had family members that worked in an area of law enforcement. So it's just kind of reaching out to employees that we have within the organization. One thing that we did, we have a fairly large correctional facility here at Pine Ridge and in Kyle. And so I reached out to some of the correction officers that were already through the system, had their backgrounds cleared and stuff, and invited them to apply for law enforcement positions. So out of the 9, I think there was probably 4 or 5 that came over from corrections. So, you know, my hat goes off to the correction folks over there as they bring people in and train them in the area of corrections. It's kind of a feeder system into our law enforcement program since I've been here.
Tell us about the academy. So the training is in New Mexico at the Federal Law Enforcement Training Center. What do you tell people how to get ready for that? A new recruit, and they say, what do I expect, Chief? How do you answer and really prepare them for the training?
You know, we kind of started a unique system here within the department. One of the issues that I had saw in coming in was that we would often send officers down and they wouldn't make it through. They would end up cadets down to the academy and they wouldn't make it through for one reason or another, maybe because of the distance, because of being homesick or academics. And so with this last class where we graduated this large amount of folks, what we've established was kind of a pre-academy training for our cadets so that we have all the material that's offered at the Indian Police Academy. So we sit down with these cadets and basically go through all of that material before they even go to the academy. and put them in a position to know a lot of the things that they're going to be faced with when they get there to the academy. So I think that this program, and I think with, you know, 100% graduation this last class, shows that we, you know, the effort that we put into in bringing them to a level of success, I think it paid off well.
Yeah. So how much distance is an average officer or an officer on a typical shift from a geographic standpoint? You know, how big of an area are they covering? Are they responding to calls in?
Our reservation is probably the second largest reservation, the second busiest reservation next to the Navajo Nation. But our square mileage is 3,500 square miles that we cover. Approximately 50 miles wide by 100 miles long, covers three counties in western South Dakota. And so it's quite an area that we cover. We have two divisions, Eastern Division and Western Division, where officers are divided up. And we now have officers in every community on a reservation that where we have established communities. So I think we're starting to make quite a difference out there.
Yeah. And are they located in, a physical building in all those communities? Are they, how do they check in for work at the beginning of a shift? And
Actually, we're fortunate enough that our officers have take-home vehicles. So if they live within the community, when they're scheduled, as soon as they get in their vehicle, they enter into duty and proceed right from their residence. And so it makes us have a quicker response time in responding to things, especially in cases of emergencies, in the event that we had something happen and we had to call more officers up. Instead of an officer having to drive 50 miles to the police department to pick up a unit, they're just able to go outside, get in their car, and respond immediately. And that's one thing that we wanted to establish was how do we improve our response time to the people we serve?
Yeah. Tell me how often, is it fairly common for a law enforcement officer then, for a police officer to be the first responder for a medical emergency, for a fire, or for how are you working with other agencies to respond to needs that are not necessarily law enforcement based, but that are first responder needs?
A large portion of our calls, we are the first responder. And, if it's a vehicle accident or an injury type call, obviously our dispatch system does go into place. They call the ambulance at the same time that they call the officers, but often we are the first to be on scene and responding to those calls.
When, policing is changing, and when we talk to members of the South Dakota Fraternal Order of Police, they often bring up community policing and, you know, making those relationships. How is policing changing in Pine Ridge? Is it?
I think that it has changed a lot within this last year. I mean, just the fact that we have the numbers up now, officers are able to be more visible in each and every community, to reach out to community members, to attend community meetings, and to try to get a handle on and to address some of the concerns in each community as to where the criminal activity is at, what types of violations that we have. We're making every effort we can to reach out to the citizens across the Pine Ridge Reservation, and I think that that's helping us a lot.
What do you see some of the challenges are that are specific, you know, when you talk with your officers, where are the efforts to, in fighting crime, in preventing crime, and in solving cases? What are some unique aspects of that where you're from?
Probably the major problem that we're faced today on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation is meth. It's having a devastating effect in many of our communities across the reservation. So we have a large effort underway working with our officers to educate them, to train them properly in an identification of illegal drugs, narcotics, and meth. And we're trying to put pressure through more aggressive patrols, and in terms of dealing in area of meth and drug dealers. We're working real close with the Tribal Housing Authority, who's helping identify any areas of concern that they're picking up in terms of reports and information, and basically reaching out to the communities. The communities are probably our number one source, where the citizens are calling in saying, you know, we have this problem at this location or at this residence. We believe that this is going on. And so it gives us, you know, a real hand up in getting to those places and checking them out to see if there's any distribution to try to work a case and to end up charging someone.
And we're hearing that a lot of what once was manufactured in rural areas, in particular in South Dakota, but even in urban areas, has transferred somewhat to be more, it's coming from out of state and it's ending up in our communities. Is that what you're seeing, or are you seeing having to fight and find meth labs?
No, I believe that we have, you know, can't say zero, but I would say almost no meth cooking on this reservation in terms of the labs. All the stuff that's coming in is from the outside.
Yeah. Are you finding out where it's coming from? You know, when we ask that question of, you know, Chief Carl Jagras, a lot of what we're hearing is it's coming across the southern border. Is that consistent with what, when you interrogate people and interview them, they're telling you about the origin of some of the meth, or is that too hard to tell?
Oh, no, it's definitely coming across the border. The cartels that are pushing it up north, coming through our major cities like Denver, Minneapolis, Rapid City. As the stuff gets there, then it comes down, you know, to the reservation, not only Pine Ridge, but Rosebud, Eagle Butte, a lot of the reservations across Indian Country in South Dakota.
Tell me a little bit about some of the challenges just in Indian Country with, you know, federal law versus state law. Tell me how difficult and challenging that is for officers to navigate the unique legal challenges in Pine Ridge and in other, you know, sovereign nations.
Well, we do, you know, do have a separation of laws between the federal system, the state system, and the tribal laws. Our officers basically work tribal offenses, but are often called into federal court because they're the first responders to arrive at a scene. So we do deal in area of tribal, state, and federal. We're often called into state court when we have a violation by a non-member on a reservation. So we don't really see it as a difficulty. We just see it that we have to respect, I guess, each area's area of sovereignty, and we have to work through the individual systems in order to, I think, hold some people accountable.
Do you work with border towns? Do you work with the Rapid City law enforcement? What kind of partnerships do you find are effective?
Yeah, we have a real good working relationship with the surrounding law enforcement communities. Especially Pennington County, we work real well with the Highway Patrol. You know, there tends to be a large amount of vehicles stolen out of Rapid City that end up here on the reservation. We recover them, help identify the individuals that are involved, and then work with the city to get them back to their rightful owners. We work with the Highway Patrol. Sometimes they'll pursue somebody on the reservation that's, you know, maybe a DWI or somebody driving impaired by drugs. We have a good working relationship with the Highway Patrol and the Sheriff's Office.
We recently came off of Law Enforcement Appreciation Week, and during that time there were memorials across the state and across the country for fallen officers, always a time to think about officer safety, not only from the physical safety of officers, but from sort of the emotional challenges of doing this job. And you mentioned so many so many cops are from, you know, cop families, and it's these are the conversations they've been having, for years, just with relatives. Tell me a little bit about your own experience growing up in law enforcement and how you ended up following that path as well.
Well, when I was a young child, I always saw my father as a police officer, and then my uncles. I had two uncles that were heavily involved in law enforcement, which both retired from law enforcement with the Bureau of Indian Affairs, and they had a big influence on me, you know, as a child. And when I would see them in their uniforms and different things like that, they just inspired me to, you know, want to pursue that type of field. So I, as a young man, went to work into law enforcement. I got my degree in area of criminal justice from Chatham State College back in the early 70s, and started my first day of work like in June of 1975 here on Pine Ridge, and been at it pretty much off and on since then. Come out of retirement to come back into the job here, basically because there were so many issues that were going on at the time with our law enforcement program, the stability in the chiefs of police, the lack of manpower, and the violence that was occurring. You know, something had to be done. So I just thought, well, you know, I'm still able to, I think, help a program. So I basically come out of retirement and stepped up and took on the job.
The watch is not over. What do you hope next, look ahead? Where are your efforts going forward for this department?
Well, we're actually looking at a couple different things. We're going through an effort right now as far as rewrite of all our policies and procedures, and we joined the Commission on Law Enforcement Accreditation. And so we hope to become the second police department in the state of South Dakota that's going to be accredited by that commission. And hopefully within this next year, we'll start a review and evaluation process by the commission. And it's all an effort to have professional standards and to professionalize our department on a national level, and that all the policies and procedures that our officers follow are nationally accepted standards, and put us in a much better position to professionally help our community. So that's one effort. The other effort is that we're going to be contracting the criminal investigation portion from the Bureau of Indian Affairs here. And we'll be hiring up to 10 to 12 criminal investigators compared to the 4 that they now have. And I think we'll have a much better program in terms of trying to solve crime on the Pine Ridge Reservation.
Chief Bob Eckevy, he's the Oglala Sioux Tribal Police Chief, and he joined us on the phone. Chief, thank you so much for being here today. Anything else that you wanted to leave us with this time?
No, I just want to thank you for giving me this opportunity just to inform the public about, you know, some of the things that are happening here on Pine Ridge in terms of our law enforcement program and, you know, the fine young men and women that we have serving our community and the great job that they're doing.
We appreciate your time, and hopefully we can follow up with you in the near future.
Okay, thank you.